们在今天信息的一开始，我想请每一个人都先思想一个问题。在你从小到大所认识的人当中，有没有哪一对夫妻的婚姻让你很羡慕，可能代表你心目中理想的婚姻？
From all the people you know, is there a couple you admire much, who represent your ideal marriage?
想一想。
Let's think about it.
我在为人做婚前辅导的时候，常常会在第一次见面的时候问这个问题。
I always ask this question in the first meeting of premarital counseling.
当然会听到不同的答案。
I've heard many, different answers.
但是我不止一次听到的回答是他们羡慕像王牧师、王师傅一样白头偕老。真的是非常的感谢神。
We thank God for that.
借着王牧师和师母，让我们教会所有的人亲眼看到一个持续一生之久的美好婚姻是可能的。
Thank God for placing Pastor Wang and Mrs. Wang among us so that we can witness the beauty of a lifelong marriage.
尤其难能可贵的是他们两人不只是白头偕老，而且依然恩恩爱爱，伉俪情深。
Most importantly, not only have they been company for one another the whole life, but they are still obviously in love.
可惜的是在今天的社会当中，能够如此相爱到底的婚姻是越来越少。
Unfortunately, there are fewer marriages like this in today's society.
我想大家都知道，前不久才有一个大新闻，就是美国前副总统 Al Gore 与他结婚40年之久的妻子 Tipper 分手了。
Recently, there was a breaking news that the former U.S. Vice President Al Gore divorced his wife after their 40 years of marriage.
很多人看到这个新闻都非常的震惊。
Many people were shocked at this news.
因为他们夫妇给人的印象是一对非常恩爱的夫妻。
Because they presented themselves as a couple deeply in love.
特别是Bill Clinton 在任内与 Monica Lewinsky 因为性丑闻闹得风风雨雨的时候， Al Gore 的婚姻似乎与 Clinton 的婚姻是一个非常鲜明的对比。
Especially when we recall when Clinton and Lewinsky were in deep trouble due to the scandal, Gore's marriage was in a sharp contrast to Clinton's.
而且 Gore 他在2000年竞选总统的时候还特别强调，自从高中毕业舞会的那一天晚上开始， Tipper 就一直是他全心所爱的女人。
In 2000, when Gore ran for presidency, he especially emphasized that Tipper was someone he loved with his whole heart since the night of his high school senior prom.
谁知道今天 Bill Clinton 跟 Hillary Clinton 还是夫妻，Al Gore 跟 Tipper 却先分手了。
Ironically, while Clinton and Hillary are still married, Gore and Tipper are now divorced.
有的人认为 Al Gore 是从事政治的，所以他十年前讲的那些话只是为了竞选总统而装模作样。
Some people say that because Al Gore was a politician and his word 10 years ago couldn't be taken too seriously.
不过我却相信他和他的妻子曾经真心的相爱过。
But I believe he and his wife were truly in love.
一个婚姻维持了四十年，最后破碎，还是一件让人非常遗憾的事。
It's very sad to see a marriage to go broken after 40 years.
一个多星期以前，我有一天早上醒来。
About a week ago, when I woke up one morning,
看到我的好太太躺在身旁，睡得真甜，真可爱。
My wife, beside me, still in deep sleep, she looks very sweet and cute.
我突然想到我认识他，我们两人开始交往的时候，他才大学一年级，才18岁。
I recall when we first started dating, she was a freshman in college, only 18 years old.
如今跟我在一起已经30多年。
And now she has lived with me for over 30 years now.
我为我们今天有幸福美满的婚姻感谢神。
And I thank God for our marriage today.
但在此同时，我一点都不敢自夸的说发生在高尔身上的事情永远不会发生在我们身上。
I wouldn't dare to boast that what happened to the Gore couple wouldn't fall on us.
要有幸福美满的婚姻，本来就需要夫妻两个人齐心努力才有可能。
It takes two people, a couple, to try really hard to work out a marriage.
而在今天的社会当中，会导致婚姻破碎的因素越来越多。
And in today's society, more and more causes will lead to a broken marriage, so it becomes more and more difficult.
在婚姻的过程当中，要通过重重考验的难度也越来越大。
There are more barriers that a couple should jump over.
所以今天我要用旧约的一段圣经，就是刚刚读的马拉基书二章十三节到十六节，来与所有人彼此共勉。
Today we'll use some scripture from Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 to 16.
我们恳求神借着这段经文教导我们一些清楚的观念。
We pray that God will use these verses to teach us some important concepts and lessons for a blessed marriage.
好来帮助我们在婚姻上蒙受神的祝福。
So that we could receive His blessings in our marriage.
首先二章十六节说，休妻的事和强暴待妻的人都是神所恨恶的。
Verse 16 says, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garment.
所以第一个我们需要有很清楚的观念，就是知道神恨恶离婚。
One thing we must be very clear is that God hates divorce.
婚姻既然是神在整个创造过程当中一个精心的设计，离婚就自然不合神心意，是神所恨恶的。
If marriage is an intentional and careful design by God in His creation, divorce certainly does not follow God's will, thus is hated by God.
当然圣经里面也有讲到一些似乎允许人离婚的情形。
Of course there are some situations when divorce is allowed in the Bible.
比如说主耶稣说，如果一方在婚姻之外与人发生淫乱，配偶是可以和他离婚的。
For example, Jesus once said that if one of the couple commits adultery, his or her spouse can divorce that person.
保罗也在哥林多前书第七章讲到，如果一个人信主之后，他的配偶因为反对他信耶稣，拒绝和他继续生活，为了和睦的缘故，可以允许他离去。
Paul also mentions in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians that once someone believes in Jesus, but his spouse refuses to live with him because of his faith, for the sake of peacekeeping, he can dissolve the marriage.
即使有这些特例，神的心意依然是清楚的。
But despite these exceptions, God's will is very clear.
就是神要夫妻一旦结婚了，就二人成为一体，不应该分开。离婚是神所恨恶的。
That is, once a husband and wife is united in marriage, two become one, and they should not be separated. So divorce is hated by God.
曾经有犹太人的宗教领袖来问耶稣说，什么情形之下可以离婚呢？
Some religious leaders once asked Jesus, under what situations is divorce allowed?
他们说在旧约律法里面，摩西有允许他们离婚的律法。
They refer to Moses' law that which allowed divorce.
但耶稣回答的时候说，那是因为人的心硬，律法中才有关于离婚的规定。
Jesus replied that it was because people's hearts are hardened first, then the law makes it alright to divorce.
也就是说，神借着摩西颁布那些律法的目的是约束离婚。
That is to say, the purpose of the law.Through Moses was to restrain divorce.
是加上限制，不让人不负责任的随随便便离婚。
The purpose was to put a limitation in case people willfully divorce.
而在旧约的最后一卷书马拉基书，神更用非常强烈的字眼把它讲得很清楚，他恨恶离婚。
Well, in the book of Malachi, God uses even stronger words to show his attitude towards divorce.
在二章十六节里面，休妻以及以强暴待妻，究竟指的是一件事呢，还是两件事？圣经学者有很多讨论。
Whether divorcing one's wife, one's spouse, and treating one's spouse violently are one matter or two separate issues, Bible scholars still debate over this.
如果是指的两件事，那意思就是除了离婚之外，神也恨恶夫妻之间有家庭暴力的事。
If this refers to two different issues, it means that apart from divorce, God also hates domestic violence.
但是很多学者认为这里指的是同样一件事。
Many scholars also think this is the same.
也就是说，休妻这件事本身就是一个以强暴来对待对方的恶行。
That is, divorce itself is a kind of violence against the spouse.
我们知道在旧约时代，女人没有什么受教育的机会，所以不太有自立为生的能力。
We know in the time of the Old Testament, women did not have the opportunity for education and cannot support themselves.
一旦被丈夫休掉，生活可以立即掉到非常窘迫的地步。
Once divorced, a woman will sink into dire poverty.
当时的社会制度对于丈夫死去的寡妇还有一些保障，但是对于被丈夫休掉的女人，那情形可以非常的悲惨。
Society at times set up some support system for widows, but not for divorced women.
所以二章十三节提到，他们使前妻叹息哭泣的眼泪遮蔽耶和华的坛，指的就是这些女人被休之后无处投诉，只有在神的祭坛前叹息哭泣。
Verse 13 says, "You flood the Lord's altar with tears." This refers to how divorced women weep at God's altar because they had nowhere to turn.
离婚带给人暴力的伤害不只是经济上的，更是心灵上的。
Divorce not only brings violent economic damages, but also emotional hurts.
不止丈夫休妻子会带给女方重大的创伤。妻子选择离开丈夫，也会给男方重大的创伤。
This applies not only to women being divorced, but also to men who are divorced.
以前我住在洛杉矶的时候，有四年多的时间，我们团契每个周三的晚上的祷告会都是在我家举行。
I live in LA for 4 years, and we have prayer meetings at home every Wednesday night.
有一个星期三晚上，团契里面一个人把他公司的一位男同事带到我家来。
One evening, a fellowship member brought his coworker to our meeting.
请我和几位主要的同工在祷告会结束之后，特别为这个人祷告。
And asked us to pray for this man.
原来就这个人的妻子移情别恋，离他而去。
This man's wife walked out on him.
其实他来到我家的时候，妻子已经跟别人跑了一段时间，没办法挽回了。
Actually, it had been a long time since his wife left him before that.
但是那天晚上，他一个大男人在众人面前嚎啕大哭。
But that evening, we saw a big man crying aloud in front of us.
声音之凄厉，让人听了都感到锥心刺骨的痛。
It was a very sad and heartbreaking scene.
像这种先生被妻子抛弃的例子，过去十多年当中，我又接触了好几个。
I have come across many similar cases during the past years.
我亲眼看到一些原本意气风发、充满自信、笑口常开的男人，被婚姻的破碎击打到抬不起头，甚至痛不欲生的地步。
I've seen many brilliant, ambitious young men who were broken to despair by divorce.
弃绝原来的配偶。真的是一种暴力。
Divorce is a type of violence.
是很残忍，近乎杀人的行为。
It's close to murder.
当然有不少的离婚是夫妻双方争吵，你气我，我气你。
Of course, some divorces happen because of small fights and anger.
有的时候扯不清谁犯错在先，或谁的错比较大。
Sometimes you don't even know who is at fault. In the first place.
所以离婚的时候，两个人都不觉得自己亏欠对方什么。
So when they come to file divorce, they don't feel regretful for what they have done.
那现在还有不少人离婚的时候会用一句听起来很美的话来形容，说他们是因为了解而分手。
Some people even use this expression to explain their divorce. They break up because of knowing each other better.
还有人会特别强调好聚好散，我们离婚之后还是好朋友。
Some people also say that divorce is like a party over, you can still be good friends afterwards.
即使是在那种情形，离婚还是带给人暴力性的伤害。
But despite this, divorce leaves people with violent pain.
我有一位朋友，他当初和妻子的看法差距太大而分居。
I have a friend who went through a divorce because he and his wife had just had drastically different views.
然后后来他们双方协议离婚。
And they had a peaceful negotiation divorce. The whole procedure went on pretty peacefully.
双方和和平平地完成协商, 最后签字。
They signed the paperwork and everything went really in peace.
但是他后来告诉我,
but he later told me,
签字之前不知道, 才签完字, 他就突然感受到事先想不到的痛苦。
The moment he signed it, he started to experience an unexpected pain.
他说就好像一个最亲的亲人突然过世一样。
The pain was like bereavement, like losing one relative.
我还住在洛杉矶的时候还常常见到他。
I saw this friend very often in LA.
离婚都过了很多年了, 他都没有完全从那个痛苦当中走出来。
Even after many years after his divorce, hasn't really recovered from this shadow.
即便他后来再婚, 我还是可以感觉到他心底的那个伤疤依然存在, 甚至从来没有愈合过。
Although he later remarried, I can sense that he had not been healed.
这种暴力性的伤害不只是在离婚的夫妻之间, 如果有孩子, 那对孩子的伤害更是又深又远。
This violent pain does not just happen between husband and wife, but much more profoundly in children.
我的大女儿读小学的时候, 班上有一个女同学一直跟她最好, 常常在一起玩。
My daughter had a very good friend in primary school who lived close to us and visits us.
所以在所有的家长当中, 我们跟那对夫妻也最熟。
Among all our other parents, we became very close with that family.
在我们看, 他们家算起来是比绝大多数的家庭都更健康、更幸福的。
This family seemed healthier and happier than most other families.
但是到我女儿读初中的时候, 那女孩的爸妈的婚姻的裂痕就越来越大,最后离婚。
When my daughter went on to junior high school, this couple started to experience difficulties in their marriage and finally divorced.
当问题才开始变得严重,双方开始讨论离婚的时候, 那个女孩就告诉我女儿说,她好害怕。
When divorce became the topic they're talking about, discussing about, their daughter started to say that she became very frightened.
因为她觉得好像整个世界都要垮下来了。
It was like her whole world was collapsing down.
接下来几年, 那对夫妻从分居到一步一步地完成离婚。
In the years followed, this couple were separated and then divorced and then split.
他们卖房子, 分配财产, 然后孩子有些天跟爸爸, 有些天跟妈妈。
They sold the house, they split the money, and they had a girl live with the father for some days and then with the mother.
看起来大家风度都很好。
On the outside, they looked just fine.
他们接受孩子的时候还彼此配合。
They worked out the schedule really well.
见面的时候可以打招呼,可以讲话。
They said hi every time they meet.
孩子有活动,还可以双方都出席。
Whenever there's a school event, they will both be present.
能够这样处理,似乎已经是相当难得了吧。
That they were handling it very well. But never have they thought about how much hurt their divorce would bring to their child.
那个女孩子还没有读大学之前就必须开始看心理医生了。
The girl had to see a psychiatrist before college.
后来读大学读没有多久就心理异常到必须休学一段时间。
Soon after she entered college, she experienced some psychological difficulties and quit school.
每次我想到这些，想到这个女孩曾经跟我女儿单纯快乐的共度童年，我就非常的难过痛心。
Whenever I think of this and recall how innocent and happy this girl was, just like my daughter, I felt heartbroken.
前几天我大女儿回来，又有机会跟她见面。
Just a few days ago, my daughter was able to meet her again.
本来那天晚上应该是她妈妈要送我女儿回家的。
That night, the girl's mother was going to drive my daughter home.
结果临时有点改变，因为听说那个妈妈喝醉了。
But things changed because I heard the mother was drunk that night.
像这些都只不过是让我想到会伤心难过的好几个例子之一。
And this is only one example among the many I have heard.
离婚真的是一件会带来暴力性伤害的事。
Divorce is something that could be bring a violent damage.
它严重了违背神设立婚姻的时候的本意。
Divorce seriously violates God's intention for marriage.
神自己清楚地说，离婚是一件他所恨恶的事。
God clearly says that he hates divorce.
我们要避免离婚的事情发生。就不能等到事情都闹到不可收拾的时候啊，才很律法主义的说啊，我愿意顺服的，我绝对不离婚。
To avoid divorce, one cannot wait until things went beyond repair, and then claim that I will never divorce, but rather obey God.
真正合神心的方法是从一开始就好好保守婚姻。
A marriage after God's heart is to guard it from the very beginning.
让他永远不会走到靠近离婚边缘的地步。
To guard it from getting even close to the edge of the divorce.
怎么保守呢？
How do we guard our?
马拉基书第二章给我们两方面的提醒。
Chapter 2 of Malachi reminds us of two things.
从消极来说，二章14、15、16三次讲到诡诈。
Verses 14, 15, and 16 all mention a verse, a phrase, break faith.
这个是英文 NIV 圣经翻作 break faith.
In NIV version, it's translated as break faith.
其他英文圣经翻作 faithless 或者是 dear treacherously.
Other versions have different translations.
包含的意思是不忠、不守誓约、破坏信任、待人处事表里不一。
It just means unfaithful or covenant breaking or trust breaking or inconsistent.
绝大多数的婚姻之所以开始出现裂痕，一大的主因就在这里，就是因为诡诈。
Many marriages started to shatter because of this break faith.
所以如果要防止婚姻沦落到濒临及离婚的地步，一定要像十六节所说的，当谨守你们的心，不可行诡诈。
So to protect marriage, one has to do as verse 16 says, guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith.
任何诡诈不忠的事情都必须早早远离。
Anything that breaks faith, is better to be away from it.
不只是在行为上，在思想意念上也是如此。
Not only in action, but also in thoughts and mind.
有一对我认识的夫妇，他们婚姻破裂。
I know a couple whose marriage crisis started.
起因是因为女方在一个小城读书做研究。
It started when the woman was doing research in a small town.
那里连华人都没有几个，十分的孤单。
There were very few Chinese there, and she was very lonely.
她先生又在别的城读书，没办法常来照顾。
Her husband was in another town and cannot come very often.
女方觉得很无聊很寂寞，就开始在网上跟陌生人聊天谈心。
The lady started to chat online with strangers.
聊着聊着就遇到一个很善于花言巧语的男人。
And later she met online someone who's very good at cheating girls.
她就被迷昏了头。
And she was deceived.
整件事情她一直瞒着她先生。
She hid the whole thing from her husband.
等到他先生发现的时候，他已经陷入太深了。
But when his husband finally found out, she was already far away from him.
最后，他不听所有人的规劝，硬是狠心把与他相爱多年的先生给抛弃了。
And finally, despite all the persuasions from other people around them, she divorced him.
在我直接接触到的人当中，类似的例子就好几个。
There are many similar cases like this.
那么如果女人都可能会瞒着先生开始感情出轨，那男人会犯这样的例子做的机会就大上好几倍了。
If a woman can easily fall into this trap, the risk for a man could be much higher.
已经有太多我所认识的男人，因为在这些事情上没有好好谨守的他们的心，就造成无法弥补的伤害。
I have seen too many people who are not able to guard their hearts, leaving some profound damages to their lives.
每次听到哎呀又一个，都真的是忍不住摇头叹气。
Every time I hear another case, I'm very sad.
除了网上的感情出轨之外，问题还常常发生在工作的场合。
apart from the affairs that happen in the cyberspace, many problems emerge in our workplaces.
也许是教授和学生之间，也许是同事和同事之间，在与异性交谈的时候，忽略了保持一定距离的重要。
It might happen between faculty and students or between colleagues. Usually, one ignores the appropriate distance when talking to another, to a person of the other gender.
一开始也许只是不够谨慎，没当一回事。
Some people started only with carelessness.
但是他们并不无辜啊。
But things, they are not innocent in this.
因为当关系开始变质的时候，他们明明察觉得到，却选择瞒着配偶，偷偷摸摸，作假掩饰。
Because sometimes things turn to a different direction with themselves sensing it, but they choose to engage in this dangerous relationships and.Hide from their spouses.
是他们允许这个危险的关系继续发展。
They allowed these dangers to continue.
这就是诡诈。
These break faith.
就是不忠。
These actions are unfaithful.
就是玩火。
They are like playing with fire.
当然，我见过几个例子是当事人及时醒悟，赶紧认错回头。
I have also seen some cases when the person involvedSuddenly realize and turn from making more mistakes.
他们避免了最严重的大错。
And by doing this, they avoid the biggest mistakes.
但是这种婚姻挽救回来的例子实在是少数。
But these are the minority.
绝大多数例子后来都闹到一发不可收拾的地步。
The majority cases develop into a mess that's beyond repair.
很真实说，我知道我跟所有人一样，也是一个内有罪性、有各样情欲的人。
I have to say humbly, I have to admit that I myself has simple nature.
我们的周围时时有各样的试探，我也实际遇到过一些试探。
There are many temptations around us, and I have personally experienced this.
我只能很谦卑地说，感谢神的保守。
I can only give thanks to God's protection.
尤其这是神提醒我，必须把一些事情用最光明的方式来处理，才不会让自己陷入危险。
God reminded me several times to deal with some issues in the light.
从本性来说，我可以感觉到我的血液当中依然有诡诈的元素存在。
I can feel in my blood vessel.A thing that I have still have something that great faith exists in me.
但是信主之后这些年来，透过读圣经和生活当中实际的操练，我也觉得真是打从心底相信，任何诡诈的念头都只会害我们走到自讨苦吃、后悔莫及的惨状。
After these years of trusting Christ and Bible reading and practicing my faith, I truly believe that any action or thoughts that break faith will eventually lead us into something we really regret.
所以果断地拒绝任何诡诈的事情，把它挡得远远的，是最有智慧、最能够为我们带来祝福的事。
So it is most wise to reject anything that breaks faith and keep them at a far distance.
有一个方法可以帮助我们省察衡量自己在婚姻关系上有没有存任何的诡诈。
There's a good way to help us examine whether we reserve anything that breaks faith in our marriage relationships.
你可以重新想想一般婚礼当中男女双方所用的誓约。
Think about a vow a man and woman make in their wedding.
然后你想想你自己是否打从心底仍然忠于你自己曾对配偶许下的承诺。
And ask yourself if you, from the bottom of your heart, still commit.And remain committed to the oath you said to your spouse.
如果你察觉到你自己在任何一点上三心二意，你就已经处在神所说诡诈的情况当中。
If you sense any wavering in your heart, you're already in the situation which God defines as faith breaking.
你需要尽快的到神面前，求神帮助你调整彻底的对付。
Then you must come to God and ask for His help.
马拉基书二章十五节给我们另外一个提醒。就是每一对夫妻都要积极的培育虔诚的后裔。
Another reminder in Malachi chapter 12 is that every couple should actively educate godly children.
这是神设立婚姻制度的一大目的。
This is a major reason why God instituted marriage.
今天很多夫妻都很看重儿女的教育。
Today, many couples take children's education very seriously.
特别是我们华人的家庭。
Especially among Chinese.
这当然有值得肯定的一面。
This attitude is certainly great.
关心儿女总比不关心好。
It's better than being irresponsible.
但是我们需要反省，我们看重的究竟是什么？
But we need to examine what we actually hold on to.
是看重属世的成功和荣耀呢？ 还是看重孩子对神有个敬畏的心？
Is the worldly success an honor, or do you value the child's reverence for God?
很多人都知道我的小女儿 Tina 今年暑假在意大利工作。
Many people know that my youngest daughter Tina went to work in Italy this summer.
她到了之后，在第一个周末要来之前，我和我好太太都有点好奇，哎， Tina 是否已经打听好教会？她是否在会在主日的时候排除各样的困难，一定去教会参加主日崇拜？
Before the first weekend, my wife and I were curious to know whether she had found a good church and if she put Sunday worship as a top priority.
我们很好奇，我们当然希望她会去。
We certainly wish she would.
但是我两个小孩小时候，我和我太太就定下一个目标。
But my wife and I made a determination when they were still young.
是在他们离家读大学之前，尽心的培育他们。
We would try our best to educate them in this way before they leave for college.
等到他们去读大学了，就希望他们会自动自发的看重这些属灵的事情，不需要我们在那里提醒。
But after that, we really want them to take spiritual matters seriously themselves without our reminders.
所以这次虽然我们好奇的不得了，但是忍住不问。
So this time we didn't ask, although we were very curious.
我们只是每天晚上睡前跟平常一样为两个女儿祷告。
The only thing we did was to pray for them.
结果感谢神，我的小女儿不只是在意大利找到教会，而且很快的跟教会里的人有很好的互动。
But thank God that not only did Tina find a good church in Italy, but she also built a very good fellowship with people there.
2个礼拜前她生病，请教会的人帮忙她介绍医生。
2 weeks ago, she was ill and she asked people in that church to introduce doctor.
没想到教会里面的一位女医生竟然马上亲自到她住的地方为她看病。
Amazingly, a doctor in the church, from the church even went to her place to see her.
教会还有姐妹天天的关怀问候她。
And many sisters visited her every day.
那上个周末，我女儿跟几个朋友一块去米兰旅游。
Last weekend, my daughter went to Milan with a few classmates.
我们又很好奇啊，跑了地方别的地方去玩，还记得去教会吗？
We were curious again whether she remembered to go to church.
结果她送 email 来的时候，又提到啊，她去米兰参加教会崇拜的时候，有些什么好的感觉？
But then, from her email, she said that she mentioned the trip and the wonderful experience she had in a church there.
我们读她的 email 感到很欣慰。
We felt greatly comforted.
我想所有的朋友到米兰旅游，一定是抓紧时间多看多玩了。
We can imagine that many of her classmates might be touring around Milan while Tina herself can.
Yeah, 但我女儿选择了去米兰的一间教会参加崇拜。
But Tina herself chose to attend Sunday worship there.
我们完全没有叮咛她，连提都没有提，是她自己想去的。
We didn't even remind her, but she wanted to go herself.
我还是只能说我们很庆幸。
I can only say that it's fortunate that.
在他们小的时候，好几次遇到一些活动与主日来教会敬拜神有冲突的时候，我们都教导他们要很忍痛割舍。
When they were still young, and when our schedules had conflicts with Sunday worship, we taught them to set up. Priority for God rather than compromising.
带领他们不妥协，不把神给牺牲掉。
We taught them not to compromise the time for God.
他们从小就知道，我们就算全家在外度假，主日一定时间找到一间教会，到时候去参加崇拜。
Since they were young, when we were traveling out of town, when it comes to a Sunday, we always find a good church to attend the service.
我们并不觉得那是旅游时间的损失。
We never thought of it as a waste of time during travel.
是一个好的机会和其他地方的基督徒一同崇拜彼此交流。
Rather, a good chance to fellowship and worship with Christians in other places.
还可以观察别的教会的一些特色长处，这是一个很正面的经验。
And to observe other churches and learn from them, these have been very positive experiences.
我记得 Tina 读初中高中的时候，有几次她所参加的弦乐团要到外地去旅行演奏。
When Tina went to senior high school, there were a few times when her orchestra.
那他在去之前就先跟乐团的负责人讲好，他说他主日是要去教会敬拜的。
And she would always tell the person in charge, in advance that she needs to attend church on Sundays.
结果乐团都让他去，还派了个大人陪他一起去。
The orchestra would always allow her and even send some adult to go along with her.
我们见过很多基督徒父母遇到孩子的活动和教会聚会有冲突的时候。常常是看重那些活动胜过教会。
We have seen some many Christian parents compromising the time for church for children's other school activities.
或者是课业忙有考试的时候就不来参加聚会。
Or they choose to miss church when the coursework is load is heavy or during exams.
还有很多父母自己因为事情忙就牺牲聚会。
And even some parents, they choose to compromise church for other their own business schedules.
我们要知道这样的做法会有形无形一点一滴的塑造孩子对神敬畏的观念。
We should know that our practices would unintentionally influence children's attitudes on their reverence for God.
这是会有长远影响的。
And this could be very lasting.
其实要培养虔诚的后裔，光用言教要求孩子不会有效的。
It takes more than words to build up godly children.
夫妻一定要自己带头操练敬虔。
A couple need to be faithful in practicing devotion themselves.
孩子要在我们身上看到我们自己追求更深的认识神、爱神、侍奉神。
The child would expect to see pursuit of.God's love and service for God in their parents.
刚刚讲到的诡诈不只是出现在十四、十五、十六节，还出现在十节和十一节。
The grace we just look at, grace faith, does not only appear in verses 14, 15, and 16. It's also found in verses 10 and 11.
有些以色列人的诡诈不只是出现在婚姻关系当中，也出现在与其他人和与神的关系当中。
Faith-breaking actions not only exist in marriage relationships, but also in our relationships with God.
实际上，对神的不忠、不诚实是一个更根本的问题。
Actually, when we break faith with God, it's a more fundamental problem.
所以要让婚姻更健康、更有保障，一个最有效的方法是夫妻两个人都积极地追求敬虔。
So, in order to build and maintain a healthy and blessed marriage,The most effective way is for the couple to actively pursue godliness.
我们与神的关系越好，夫妻间的关系也会变得更好。
The stronger our relationship with God, the stronger our relationship would become with our spouses.
两个人都对神更加的信实忠诚，也就会对彼此更加的信实忠诚。
If a couple are devoted to God in their individual ways, they will stay faithful to each other.
大家知道基督徒的婚礼和一般人的婚礼在基本观念上有一些大的差别。
We know there is a fundamental difference between a Christian wedding and a secular wedding.
世俗的婚礼就算是在一个很大很漂亮的教堂举行，往往也只是为了气氛。
In a secular wedding, even when held in a beautiful cathedral, it's only for the right atmosphere.
我们教会的文超最近常常去日本出差。
文超now usually visit Japan.
他到日本去找教会，他找不到，他在那个城找不到。
He couldn't find a church in the town he went.
但他骑自行车看到，哎，有些教堂上面，有些教就一个教堂有个十字架。
But when he sometimes see the cross on some buildings,
他就好高兴要去聚会。
He was very happy and he went there for the church meeting.
结果人家跟他说 ，This is only for wedding.
But people told him that's only for wedding.
然后他发现，在那个小城里面，这样子的教堂好多都是 only for wedding.
He found many churches there are only for wedding.
所以可以在教堂举行，为的是气氛，也许为了得神的祝福，但是不打算让神来做婚姻的主。
So the why they choose church for the wedding is either for the right atmosphere or for seeking God's blessing, but they never seek God as the Lord of their marriage.
而且那些婚礼，就算有成千、成百、上千的人同来庆贺。男女双方基本上还觉得婚姻是他们两人的事情，一切由他们自己决定。
And you see, even tens of thousands of guests come to celebrate with them. The couple would see themselves as the focus of this event, that they are the ones who make all decisions.
但是圣经的教导跟这个很不一样。
However, biblical teachings on marriage are quite dramatically different from.
当基督徒在教会弟兄姐妹面前举行婚礼的时候，是有几方面重大的意义。
When two Christians hold a wedding ceremony before brothers and sisters of their church, this is a meaningful event in several ways.
婚姻的约不是两人之间的约。
The marriage covenant is not just between two people.
而是两人一起与神立约。
It is two individuals coming together under God's covenant.
生活当中一些重要的决定啊，不是你做或我做，而是两人一同来到神的面前，寻求神的旨意。
When it comes to some major decisions in marriage life, not any one of the couple makes the decision, but rather it takes two people to come before God and for His guidance.
当两人看法不同起了争执的时候，也不是在那里争谁比较有资格说话，谁比较有理，而是夫妻都要很愿意顺服在神的面前，听神的。
When two people come to a disagreement or arguments, they do not fight for who is more qualified to have the say, but rather.Both should submit to God and let God be the Lord.
基督徒的婚姻不只是由神做主。
Christian's marriage should not only submit to God's authority.
也要很顺服教会整个群体。
It also should submit to the whole church.
教会的弟兄姐妹有责任为每一个家庭守望代祷。
The church are responsible to pray for every family.
每一个做丈夫或做妻子的也要很接受教会群体的规劝。
Every husband and wife should accept advices from other church members.
这些其实并不是束缚，而是一个蒙福的保障。
These actually are not bondages. They are protections, and they make the pathway to a blessed marriage.
最后，我想让大家特别看二章十四节。
Next, let's see verse 14.
这边用了三个不同的词来讲到夫妻。
Here, three different words were used to refer to.Husband, wife.
幼年所娶的妻。
The wife of your youth.
配偶。
Your partner.
蒙福的妻。
The wife of your marriage covenant.
多数人刚结婚的时候都很年轻。
Many people marry when they are still young. Most people.
那时候也都觉得爱情是很美的。
Most people feel that romantic love is sweet, great.
但这能不能持久呢？
But how long can it last?
我刚刚讲过，我太太和我开始交往的时候才十八岁。
I just said that my wife was only 18 when we started dating.
不过我们五年之后才结婚。
We got married 5 years later.
那我母亲是十八岁就嫁给我爸爸。
But my mother married my father when she was only 18.
我很感谢神，让我看到他们信主之后在教会当中蒙受丰富的祝福。
I thank God for letting me not only witness the blessings they received after they became Christians.
更感谢神的是，后来在我父亲身体一路走下坡的时候，我看到我的父母在相当无助的情形当中，如何表现出他们对彼此的爱。
I also give more thanks to God for witnessing their love for one another after my father's health deteriorated.
那时候对全家每一个人都相当的不容易。
It was a very difficult time for everyone in our family.
很多的眼泪。
It was a time of much tears.
严重到一个地步，我都已经向我们教会的长老提出一个非常 非常特别的请求。
Things worsened to such an extent that I did a proposal to the elders that for a special arrangement.
我希望教会能够允许我周一至周四住在洛杉矶，帮助我母亲照顾我爸爸，到周末再回伊贝克来参与教会的服事。
I proposed that I could live in LA to help my mother taking care of my father from Monday to Thursday and then fly back during the weekend to serve the church in Ithaca.
那个提案，那时候我们教会的长老已经非常有爱心，马上就答应了。
The elders agreed on my request immediately.
之所以没有进行，是我的父亲不愿意我牺牲教会的服事和我家庭的需要，他坚决反对。
But things didn't proceed. As I planned, because my father wouldn't let me sacrifice my service in the church for my family.
有一次我去洛杉矶看我爸妈。
Once I went to visit my parents in LA.
我妈妈说我父亲向来很享受到家里附近一家理发店去理发。
My father loved to go to one barber shop close to home.
那两位理发师都是中年以上的老先生。
The two barbers working there were elderly people too.
我知道我爸爸和那李凡他们都非常喜欢在一起聊天。
And they like each other's company and like to chat.
但是后来我父亲已经走路走得不太好，不太能走了。
But later my father couldn't walk anymore.
我妈妈一个人没办法带他去。
And my mother cannot take him along there.
所以那次我去探望他们的时候，我妈妈说啊，我们一块带爸爸去理发吧。
So when I was visiting them, my mother said.It's time to have his haircut.
但那天下了车，我父亲坐在轮椅上由我来推。
So when there and we got up the car, I pushed his wheelchair.
但是到理发店的门前地上有个地方挡着过不去。
But there was a large curb in front of the barber shop.
我妈妈和我两个人一起使劲在那里抬，都还不够。
We tried very hard, but still couldn't get through.
两位理发师看到了，马上就出来帮忙，然后所有的客人也都停止了谈话。
The two barbers and all other, they came to help us, and all other guests stopped their chatting.
那时候我们一家子人在那里啊弄不了，看起来是蛮惨的。
Three of us look quite embarrassing at the moment.
但是从理发师和所有客人的态度上，我可以感受到，在那个时刻，这对老夫妻的爱让每个人都深深受了感动。
But I sense from others' response that love between my parents deeply touched them.
所以虽然我父亲病重的那几年，我父母一起吃了很多的苦。
During the years when my father was ill, my parents experienced a lot of hardships.
虽然我父亲过世的时候，我们因为舍不得，还是流了很多的眼泪。
When my father passed away, we mourned greatly and we wept greatly.
但是真的是患难见真情。
But it was in such hardships that true love was the witness.
在患难当中看到我父母的爱是更加的见证高贵，让我很安慰，让我也很受激励。
I saw how the love between my parents is held up by faith, and this was of much comfort and encouragement to me.
德国有一位很著名的神学家潘化华，他因为反对纳税，后来死在集中营里面。
The famous German theologian Bonhoeffer, who died in the concentration camp because of his anti-Nazi activism.
他曾经在监狱当中写过很多信。
He wrote down many letters during his imprisonment.
其中有一封被保存下来的信，是有一位年轻的女孩在考虑婚嫁的时候，潘化华写信给她一些劝勉。
One letter was from a young girl seeking counsel who was considering marriage.
其中一段潘霍华这样写着
And this was Bonhoeffer's encouragement.
人生当中有什么比两位年轻人带着纯洁的心携手走向婚姻更美？
Is there anything more beautiful in life than a young couple clasping hands and pure hearts in the path of marriage?
有可能找到比青春的爱更美的东西吗？
Can there be anything more beautiful than young love?
他说有的，有一个更美的。
Yes, there is a more beautiful thing.
就是老夫老妻一同走完人生的旅程。
It is the spectacle of an old man and an old woman finishing the journey together on that cart.
他们的手臂虽然已经粗糙，却仍紧紧地相握。
Their hands are still gnarled but still clasped.
他们的脸虽满了皱纹，却依然发光。
Their faces are seen but still radiant.
他们的心虽然已经体衰意疲，对彼此的爱和委身却是兴旺强盛。
Their hearts are physically bowed and tired.But still strong with love and devotion for one another.
是的，是有比青春之爱更美的。
Yes, there's a more beautiful thing than young love, old love.
那就是老而弥坚的爱。
That is old love.
今天我们信息的主题，英文是 about to cherish.
Today, the message of the sermon is about to cherish.
这个题目其实是借用十多年前 Billy Graham Association 拍的一部电影。
I use this title because it's actually the title of the 99 movie.
电影讲的是一个基督徒家庭。
The movie is a story of a Christian family.
孩子都长大读大学了。
After children have grown up and went to college.
但是母亲开始出现了老人痴呆的症状。
The mother started to experience dementia.
所以她的情形越来越严重，先生的心情也一天比一天更沉重。
With her health worsening, her husband became despair day by day.
那他在早上晨跑的时候，偶然遇到一位女士。
One morning on his way jogging, he met a lady.
这个女士成为聆听他的声音，带给他安慰的一大支柱。
The young lady was willing to talk with him and was such a comfort to him.
那他们就渐渐地落入了情网。
And later he found he was falling in love with this lady.
当他开始因为心中的挣扎感到痛苦的时候，有一位基督徒朋友用圣经的话劝勉他。
When he was experiencing great pains and struggles, a Christian friend used words in the Bible to encourage him.
最后他选择来到神的面前。
And finally he chose to return to God.
而且在一天晚上，他跪在他妻子的床前。
And one night he knelt down beside his wife's bed.
他牵着他妻子的手。
He held her hands.
他再一次重述几十年前他在婚礼当中对妻子所立的婚约。
Repeating the vow he first said to this woman decades ago in their wedding.
虽然他的妻子因为老人痴呆，未必知道他在说什么。
Although his wife at the time in dementia did not know what he was saying,
但他自己知道。
He knew himself.
他的儿子女儿在房间外听到，也感动落泪。
His children also heard this outside the door.
更重要的是，神知道。
And most importantly, God knows.
那位设立婚姻的主听见这个声音。
The Lord who instituted marriage heard him saying the vow again.
他悦纳人对妻子表达出忠诚不变的爱。
God is all well pleased with this husband's faithful love for his wife.
这个电影很感人。
This movie was very touching.
但是更感人的是启发这部片子拍摄的真人真事。
But the true story behind it is even more touching.
1990年以培育很多宣教士和教会领袖出名的南卡罗来纳州哥伦比亚圣经学院发生一件事情，带给很多人极大的震撼。
In 1990, a news came from the Columbia Bible College of South Carolina, an institute which had built up many missionaries and church leaders.
就是担任校长22年，表现很杰出又深受敬重的这个 Robertson McQuilkin 宣布他决定辞职。后来专心照顾他患了老人痴呆症的妻子。
Well-respected Mr. Robertson McQuilkin, after 22 years of presidency of the college, decided to resign in order to take care of his wife.
当时很多人都觉得他继续担任校长可以有很大的贡献，他们觉得很可惜。
Many people regretted and thought that his continued presidency in the college would make much more a greater contribution.
但他辞职的时候做了一个公开的演讲。
He made a public speech upon a resignation.
他辞职照顾他太太5年之后，他也写了一篇见证。
After 5 years taking care of his wife, he gave another testimony.
所有的听众和读者都深受感动，也都看得到他做的决定是对的。
Everyone that heard his testimonies was deeply moved and admired what he did as the right thing.
他说我知道很多人觉得学校还很需要我。
He said, I know many people thought that I was very needed at this college.
但是几十年前我和我的太太结婚的时候我们对神对彼此都做下了神圣的承诺。
But a few decades ago when I got married, I married my wife, we both had a covenant before God.
我相信守住这个一生的承诺比其他的事情都更重要。
I believe keeping this promise is far more important than anything else.
我也相信这是神喜悦我做的。
And I believe this is what would please God.
Robertson 在1990年辞掉校长之后他的太太在他的爱心照顾下活了13年。
After Robertson's resignation in that year, his wife lived for another 13 years with his care.
到了2003年才过世。
And she passed away in 2003.
有一本书守住一生的承诺 A Promise Kept 写的就是他们的真实见证。
Their true testimony was written in a book titled A Promise Kept.
也是这个启发了 About to Cherish 的拍摄。
This book inspired the movie.
现在我想带大家唱一首诗歌伟大的爱。
Now, I would like to lead us to sing a hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go.
写这首歌的歌词的人是 George Matheson.
The author of this hymn is George Matheson.
这个人很有才华。
He was a very talented young man.
但他年轻的时候就患了眼疾。
But he contracted eye disease when he was young.
当时他的未婚妻知道他可能会失明。就取消了婚约离他而去。
At the time, his fiance feared that he might lose his sight, so she left him.
结果他到了20岁还在读神学的时候就真的完全失明。
And when the 20-year-old George was in seminary, he did go blind.
但靠着神的恩典他读了毕业而且全职侍奉做了牧师。
But thanks to God's grace, he graduated and became a pastor.
而且后来因为他做出重大的贡献成为爱丁堡皇家学院的院士而且被颁发荣誉博士。
And later because of his contributions, he was named as a fellow of the Royal Society of Edinburgh and with an honorary doctorate degree.
他一生没有结婚。
He remained single all his life.
但是在他一个小妹妹结婚的那天
So on the wedding day of his younger sister,
当时40岁的他感触万千。
The 40-year-old George was very touched and wrote down this hymn.
他写下这首歌，对。当然，这首歌写的是讲到神的爱的伟大。
This hymn is about how great God's love is.
但是我想这首歌也提醒我们，每一个婚姻都需要神的爱。
I think this hymn also reminds us every marriage needs God's love.
每一个做丈夫和做妻子的也都需要支取神的爱效法神的爱
That every husband and wife needs to draw from and learn from God's love
我们一同来唱
Let us sing
用你习惯的一点Thank you. 即便我们结婚的时候还没有信主，
Maybe you were not a Christian when you were married.
但是婚姻的制度是神所设立的。
But marriage itself is instituted by God.
他的心意是让我们守住这一生的承诺。
His intention is for us to keep his promise.
他要丈夫永远的来爱永远所娶的妻。
He delights
in the
husband loving his beautiful wife. We pray that God will strengthen us in keeping his promise.
好让我们这一生能够经历婚姻最大的祝福。
We pray that he will pour out his blessings on our marriage.
我们当中也许有许多人也还是单身。
Many of us are still single.
让我们也来为自己将来的婚姻来祷告。
Let us all pray for our marriage in the future.
让我们愿意在神面前看重这将是一个一生的承诺。
I pray that God help us to see this precious promise as the most important.
谦卑的求神引导。
And to help us humbly.
让我们在他的引导下来做一个非常慎重的决定。
Pray that we can make prudent decisions before him under his guidance.
在结婚的时候就已经清楚地知道这是要持久一生的承诺。
So that when it comes to making the marriage decision, we know it's a promise that takes a mind to keep.
主，我们仰望你。
Where we look up to you.
We are
so limited.
We are so
untrustworthy.
甚至我们里面有诡诈。
There are so many things that give us great faith.
主，我们需要你的帮助。
Where we need your help.
我们需要从你那里来的爱。
Where we need the love from you.
我们需要从你那里得着爱，我们才能够回活出这个完全的爱。
Lord, we want to receive your love so that we can live out the complete love.
主啊，引导我们成为一个对你没有任何诡诈，而是真正完全敬虔的人。
Lord, teach us and make us to someone who does not break faith with you.
主，谢谢你在你的大爱当中也始终没有舍弃我们。
Lord, thank you in your great love, you never desert us.
因为你的爱活在我们当中，我们也永远不会舍弃我们所爱的人。
Lord, pray that with your love dwelling among us, we will never desert the ones we love.
听我们的祷告。
Listen to our prayer.
奉主耶稣基督的名。
Pray in the name of
Jesus. 拜拜。
感谢牧师的信息。
你看，
对不起，我听牧师的信息，然后眼泪就 止不住的好好往下流。我想那个牧师说他跟师母认识的时候，师母才十八岁。我想我跟查尔梅认识的时候，我也才十八岁。
When I met my husband, I was also 18.
然后因为想到上次看到李燕跟冯丽的婚礼上，牧师在上面说那个十月的时候，眼泪也是哗哗哗哗的往下流。
I remember during Yan and Hong's wedding, when they were saying the vows to one another, I was also
tears.
Thank God for giving us this promise.
因为我们下边是欢迎和报告的时间。
Now time for announcement.
有没有第一次来到我们当中的朋友，请你站起来做一下介绍。
We welcome friends who join us for the first time.